Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I truly appreciate the love and the support that you all have been giving. Thank you so much for what you all are doing to make this podcast to go and to grow. Thank you so much. They say when you enter the podcasting world that you should not always monitor your numbers, keep track of your numbers. However, I tend to be a little hard-headed with that, and I actually do follow the numbers. So I want to say, as a Christmas gift for the end of this month of December, or Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever holiday you celebrate, let me just put it like that. But certainly in my case, I take it as a Christmas gift that the numbers have grown much in the for the month of December. I have had more active downloads this month than in the previous months. And I want to say thank you to the audience who is growing and going. I want to say thank you to those members of the audience who have been sharing, liking, subscribing. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It has truly been paying off, and I truly appreciate all that. So as we usually do for the month of, for the end of the month, we're going to do an end of the month wrap up. Now, I know that there's been much happening in law enforcement. I will not attempt to address all of these things, but just a few of them. I hope that everyone is having a very good, safe, productive holiday season, whatever it is you celebrate, Kwanzaa or Christmas or Hanukkah, whatever it is you celebrate. I hope that your holidays are good and that you're enjoying the true spirit of the season, which is about family, which is about brightness and hope. If we take a look at this time of year, we understand that it's really about the darkest time of the year, right? The winter solstice being the 21st of December or so, the darkest time of the year. And therefore, we celebrate somehow, some way, in whatever fashion that is, that the light has come back into the world, or that the world is going to get lighter and brighter and everything like that. So if you're looking at it from that perspective, I hope that everything within your life is going better. As we enter into the new year, I hope that you have these thoughts on your mind as you enter into the new year. As we have been starting a new segment, I have decided to talk about how to make you the best you that you can be, right? How to make you the best you that you can be. And so this is a new segment that we've been starting. So I decided to incorporate that into this particular episode, into the monthly wrap up, so we can focus on a lot of things. Now, I had something that I wanted to talk about, but let me just deviate and to talk about something different. And that is how we deal with grief. On Christmas Day, no less, I had a member of my family pass away. It's incredibly hard during any time of the year. Let's just be honest about this. It's incredibly hard to deal with death, no matter what the time of year is. But we understand that, number one, death is inevitable and it's coming. To each and to every one of us. I had my own scare and brush with death. At least that's how I look at it anyway, with my triple bypass. Clearly, if I had not had the medical insurance and the wherewithal to go to the doctor, I might not be able to be here today. I'm truly grateful for all the medical advances that we have had and everything else like that. But I wanted to talk about the celebration of life just for a few moments before we get into our typical monthly wrap up. I want to talk about the celebration of life and what that means, right? So many times we go to funerals and we grieve in our own way. And these funerals, while they are essentially religious ceremonies, right? It's important for us to be able to grieve in our own way. We are going to miss our loved ones. We are going to think about our loved ones. And sometimes there can be a little bit of a guilt that is felt by those who have been left behind. And so I want to say to you, the loved ones, you should not feel guilty. You should not feel any type of remorse for what happened. Try to get over any type of feelings of remorse or guilt or negative feelings about the passing of a loved one. We understand that sometimes people are taken away from us way too soon, right? Through traumatic injuries, accidents, diseases. But what we can do in the meantime is try to make the best of the time that we have with each and every one of us. I know this does not sound comforting as we go forward, but try to, as you're dealing with the passing, the loss of a loved one, think about the good times that you had. Think about the time that they laughed, that you made them laugh, that they made you laugh. Think about the times that they helped you, the times that you helped them, the times that they were there for you, the times that you were there for them. Think about the good times and celebrate their life. Make sure that you take this time, as we, as many Christians, will celebrate the life coming into the world, right? The light and the life coming into the world. They celebrate this. And so I want you to celebrate the life of a loved one. Whether that person is here right now, one of the best sayings that I've ever heard is to give someone their flowers while they can smell them. So take this time as we enter into the new year, and as we celebrate Christmas or Hanukkah or holiday, whatever holiday you celebrate, take this time to celebrate the life of the loved ones around you while you have them. That life, that baby that was born into the world, that toddler, that teenager, a full-grown adult, that midlife crisis adult, and the elderly. But take time to celebrate their life. Give them their flowers while they can smell them. Enjoy your time around them. I know it's hard to lose loved ones, and words really can't fix the pain. Only time heals the wound. In time, things will get better. In the meantime, celebrate their life. Look at pictures. Look at videos. Talk about them. Keep their memory alive through discussions, passing down any sayings that they had. Listen to the music that they loved. Listen to the poems that they may have written. Look at the artwork that they may have drawn. Celebrate their life. And don't just think about what you have missed. Yes, we will miss them. Yes, they will be missed. Yes, the pain of the loss and the sorrow that we feel, is it hurts sometimes to the bone. But just continue to focus on the good parts of their life. Continue to focus on everything that was good and positive, how they made your life better. If I can recall back to my former days of being a crisis intervention officer, we had to understand that there are different ways that people deal with loss and grief. And so people grieve in different ways. Don't let anyone ever tell you that the way that you're grieving isn't right. If you want to cry, then cry, let it out. If you don't want to cry, don't let someone talk you into crying. Be real in your emotions. Be real in your sympathy. Be real in your empathy. Be real in your grieving process. I think there's a few things that we have to really understand, and that's to acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge the fact you are going to miss this person. Acknowledge it. It's okay. You're going to miss this person. They made you laugh. They made you cry. They made you sick sometimes. Sometimes you wanted them to leave. Other times you could not wait to be in their presence. Just acknowledge your pain. And as I said before, right, there's no right way to mourn. There's no right way to go through loss. Go through it in your own way and in your own time. You got to take some time off from work. If you have to take some time away from the kids, do what you have to do in order to really get through and get to the heart of the matter. You might also want to seek support. Sometimes that support is religious support. It can be family and friends support. Sometimes some people don't want to be alone. That's okay. It's okay if you don't want to be alone. Seek out the people that you respect and want to be around. Seek those people out who have that encouraging word. And if someone's coming to you, be that encouraging shoulder for them to cry on. Be that person that they can go to. Have that encouraging word. And sometimes you don't even have to say anything. Sometimes there's always this push to say something, you know, to make the pain go away. But sometimes just listening to them, letting them cry, just wiping their tears, and just being that sympathetic shoulder for them to cry on. Sometimes that's just enough. And let me just finish this off with saying, sometimes if the grief can last too long, then we can get and fall into depression. So just keep an eye on that. And if you have a loved one who is going through some type of mourning process or through the grieving process, let them go through it. But just keep an eye out for it in case it goes a little too long and they slip into depression where they don't ever want to go back to work. Or maybe they don't want to go back to their normal daily activities, right? Eventually, we have to get back to living. And that seems harsh, but it's true. We have to get back to living. Those loved ones, if they really loved us and we really loved them, they would understand that you have to get back to living at some point. at some place in time, we have to get back to daily routines and things as normal. But in the meantime, don't be afraid to grieve and to mourn and to go through that process the best that you can. Don't be afraid to cry. So we all know about the five stages of grief, right? We have first the denial. I can't believe this loved one is gone, something like that. We can be mad. The next stage would be anger. I'm mad about what's going on. You know, you can be mad at God or mad at the higher power, whatever you call that, that this thing is going on. The next phase would be bargaining. You know, I'll do anything to get this person back in my life. God, if I can just have a few more minutes, just one more day with this person. Depression, that's the point where we talked about before, where we're just too sad to get anything done. You know, we can't get back to work. We can't get back to functioning normally. And then, of course, the last place is acceptance. This acceptance is, you know, just a place where we need to get to in all of our lives when we deal with grief and with loss, to the place where we are at peace with what happened. We may never like it. We may not accept it as something that we take as positive, but we understand that it's happened, and we understand that we need to pick ourselves up, if you will, dust ourselves off, and keep going on. So I know it's hard. I know it's tough. But to those people who have lost people during this holiday season, my condolences to you. As I said, I lost one of my own family members. He will be missed, and we're going to go through the process. Next week, we'll be coming back at you, going to be continuing with our homework assignments. You know, as we talked about, what do you want to do? Following homework assignment was, you know, what's stopping you? The homework for this week is, as we go into the new year, what are your New Year's plans? I'm not talking about resolutions that we all come up with and we quit 2 weeks after into the month. But what are we really going to do in order to make our lives better? How about this as a homework assignment going forward? For 2020, as we go into the new year, how about we make sure that we give those people in our lives the flowers while they can smell them? How about we do that? If we could all do that, we're going into a new year. How about we really let go of those grudges, let go of those grievances, let go of those hurts and pains, and let's try to make 2020 a better year emotionally for us. As we all know that we are not guaranteed to be here for a very long period of time. So if we can just make sure that we are going to make sure that this year, that the next year, 2020, is a better year than it was, right? Get rid of those, of all that baggage. It's not worth it. We're only here for a short period of time, and there's no sense in being mad and angry and not talking to people for a long period of time. So those family members that you're not communicating with, how about you communicate with them? You don't have to be around them. I'm not saying you have to be around them all the time, but I am saying that you not to hold grudges. I am saying that. So let's try to make that a homework assignment for all of us as we go forward. So let's get into the monthly wrap up. As usual, there's a lot of different stories that we could talk about. I can't discuss every single story out there, but the major stories I think are worth talking about. First story I want to talk about is the Michael Bell story. You guys go back and listen to the Michael Bell story on the podcast. It was an episode that I called Culture of Corruption. Michael Bell Sr., his son Michael Bell Jr., was killed by the Kenosha, Wisconsin Police Department. Ever since 2004, he has been on a crusade to get justice and to find out the truth, and for him to find out the truth, and for the Kenosha Police Department and the Kenosha, Wisconsin community to find out the truth behind what happened to his son. Well, he and his team have submitted about a 1,500-page document to the mayor's office, to the powers that be within Wisconsin, and the mayor there, Mayor Antar Ramayan, I hope I'm saying that name right, Antar Ramayan, Antar Ramayan, quickly dismissed the Bell family 1,500-page complaint regarding the death of Michael Bell Jr. So Michael Bell Sr. is continuing to fight the fight. Apparently the mayor there is not going along with the findings of the 1,500-page report. So I do plan to reach out to Michael Bell Sr. again to see if he'll come back on the podcast, see what is going to be going on from this point. The mayor has refused to, or has dismissed it. So what's the plan? Go to any higher ups, any further lawsuits, and just so we'll see what's going on with that. So just stay tuned with that particular story. In a very curious story, according to my mind, is that the Austin Police Department is going to be suspending some training because one of the cadets there has alleged some racism. You know, I get tired of these racism claims by police officers, now cadets. You can't always believe what's going on in newspaper articles, but this comes from the statesman.com, posted December 2nd, 2019. Training halt amid racism probe would affect one police cadet's class next year, council member says. So apparently somebody on this in the police academy there claiming that there's systematic racism going on in the Austin Police Department. And because of this, they're going to be suspending training, and they're going to be doing an investigation. This is from the article. Anonymous complaints publicized in early November accused former Assistant Chief Justin Newsom of using racist language to refer to President Barack Obama, former council member Ora Houston, former Assistant Chief Frank Dixon, and subordinates as he climbed to the highest ranks of the Austin Police Department. Newsom abruptly retired shortly before the complaints were circulated. You know, when people retire, that's always some kind of sign that something's going on some way. You know, so, you know, this whole thing that what people are saying in the dark, and when they don't think that anyone's listening and they don't think that they're being recorded, is really coming to light. And it's really disturbing and truly disgusting that we have to continue to deal with this, you know, if any of this is true. So obviously they're going to be doing a probe down in Austin, Texas, to see what's going on here. But we'll see. Continuing with the article, since those documents were made public, city leaders have been wrestling with how best to investigate and address the alleged culture of racism that allowed Newsom to rise to the highest levels of the force. So we got to continue on with that. And another similar story, another high-ranking official in Florida was overheard on tape, body cam footage, telling her subordinates to pull over a black man and act like a neo-Nazi, white supremacist, and all that kind of crazy nonsense. So I listened to the tape as well. I think that you all should listen to the tape as well. And the sense that I get from this officer, from this captain, and I'll read a little bit from it before I get into it, but I do want to kind of paint the picture a little bit. What I think that the captain was saying is that I want you to treat this man in a fairly firm, rough manner, right, in order to get him to comply. And now I lament her choice of words and saying that treat him as a racist cop. Clearly, with the climate that we're living in, we should not be okay with that. And let me just state for the record, I'm not okay with that. But I think that was her purpose and her point. Now, whether she really harbors some racist animus towards any other people, I certainly don't know. I don't know the lady, but I don't know the police captain. But I think that that was her purpose and point in saying that. So just a little bit from this, the head of the Monroe County Sheriff's Office Major Crimes Unit was relieved of her command this week following the release of an audio recording in which she is heard ordering one of her officers to pull over a black man who is a suspect in a Key West murder and act like a white supremacist neo-Nazi cop to get information from him. Monroe Sheriff Rick Ramsey pulled Captain Penny Phelps, that's the woman who made the statements, from the late 2017 case in October when he became aware of the recording, which his agency turned over to defense attorneys. He also initiated an internal affairs probe into Phelps' conduct, which she headed in the investigation into the so-called Treehouse murder, which happened November 17, 2017 on Stock Island. So this is an old case. This information was turned over to the defense attorney. And so this is 2019 now, right? So it's 2 years later when we're hearing about this story. So once again, you know, once the news media gets wind of this kind of stuff, obviously they put it out into the ether to, you know, kind of stoke the flames of everything. Now, clearly this woman should not have made that. But I think, once again, like I said, I think that the reason that she said it is because she wanted to create this intimidating presence for this officer. She wanted the officer to create an intimidating presence so that the suspect in the case would be so intimidated and be willing to give up the information, essentially, right? There's different techniques and tactics that officers will use in order to elicit information from people. And one of them that works many times is that intimidation factor. And so this is one of the factors in which she was, I think, was trying to get to the point of. What's curious is that the sheriff knew about this 2 years ago and didn't do anything about it until 2019. Now, that is curious, and that does present a problem for the sheriff and him not doing what he should have done when he first became aware of this in 2017. Continuing with the article, Phelps was removed from her post as head of the Major Crimes and Narcotics Unit on Wednesday, according to paperwork released to the Miami Herald on Saturday. Ramsey said it was too early in the investigation to comment on whether Phelps could lose her job. So this sheriff sat on this information for 2 years. Then once it comes to light, once the Miami Herald gets a hold of it, and that's the article where I'm reading this from, themiamiherald.com. Once they get a hold of it, then everything blows up, and now he's got to relieve her of command and all that kind of stuff. If there's any supervisors out there who are listening, managers, heads of departments, you got to do what you got to do when you got to do it. And this is part of the problem that really hampers the relationship between the community and the public. They don't feel as if there's any trust. If you come across something that happens to you, you got to handle that stuff immediately. What are you waiting 2 years for before it becomes out into the open? If you tell people about things when they happen, we could deal with this and the public would have more faith in your institution and in your organization if you were upfront and honest about it. This is the problem that we had. The lack of transparency, sitting on something for 2 years until the newspaper gets a hold of it, is a problem. Continuing with the same line of reasoning, in Temple, Texas, there was a man who was just shot by police. This comes from KCENTV.com. And this is called, the name of this article is Family Seeks Answers After Son Killed an Officer-Involved Shooting. Right, this is Temple, Texas. He was 28 years old, early in the month of December. One of the biggest problems is we don't even know what happened. I've heard news reports that the man went out about 1:30 in the morning. The Temple Police Department show up at his house and tell the family that the man is dead. The only thing that they understand is that he had an interaction with a police officer and that he is now deceased. According to articles that I have read, the Temple Police Department is not releasing any information. They are saying to contact the Texas Rangers who have taken over the investigation, and the Texas Rangers are not releasing any information. So this family, according to KCENTV.com article, as well as the KWTX.com article, there's no information coming out, right? There's an attorney there, Lee Merritt, representing the family of this Michael Dean, the deceased man. And so the family doesn't know what happened. Was it a traffic stop? Was the man shoplifting? Was the man just walking down the street? What caused the interaction between him and the police? Police have not informed the family as to what's going on. And this, again, creates the problems between the police and the community. No transparency. At least the officers should give a press conference as to what happened. And many of these places, many of these laws within people's jurisdictions, the laws are the ones that are prohibiting police departments from releasing any information. And so I would say that if you live in a jurisdiction where it is forbidden by law that police departments shed light on the ongoings of their investigation, then you should be petitioning that the laws change, at least some type of press conference to give at least the dates, the times, the name of an officer, the circumstances behind it, what's going on. And if obviously there's some certain sensitive information that cannot or should not be released because of the ongoing investigation, right? Names of suspects and things like that, then obviously that information should be kept secretive to a certain degree. But whatever information can be released should be released, and it should be released in a fairly timely manner. The state's attorney in Cook County, Kim Fox, has began the process of expunging the names of people who have marijuana convictions. Ms. Fox has been catching a lot of flack for her stance on a number of things, the way she handled the Jesse Smollett, or as as Dave Chappelle says, Juicy Smollett, the way that she has handled that case. Regardless, I think that if the legalization of marijuana is a growing trend and it is being hotly debated in Illinois, then I think that if it's going to be legalized and people are making money from it, they're growing hemp farms and CBD farms and all this kind of stuff, then why should people have their lives trashed and destroyed and ruined because they have these convictions for marijuana on their records? So I am in that case, and in that manner, I'm in total favor of the expunging of criminal records of people who have been convicted of marijuana, solely on marijuana crimes. So I think that that's a very vital thing. And I think that's a very good thing for Kim Fox and Marilyn Mosby down in Baltimore and any other state's attorney across the country who is deciding now that arresting, charging, prosecuting people for small possessions of marijuana and or past marijuana convictions should have their records expunged. And keep in mind, it's not just her that's doing it, right? She's presenting this information to judges, and the judges are also agreeing that these people should have their records expunged. So in New Jersey, there was a shootout. We all may have heard about that, when a couple of, I believe they were African-Americans, went into a Jewish community, into a grocery store, and started blazing away in the Jewish community grocery store. Tragic, should not have happened. Mentally disturbed people, terrorist acts, whatever it was, should not be doing this. Condemn this all the way around. Before they went to the grocery store, they shot up a police officer, a 39-year-old detective from Jersey City Police Department, Joseph Seals. He was killed. You know, this is just a tragic incident. So the officer's dead. Three civilians are dead. The two suspects are dead. Once again, we got to take a look at this gun debate. How did they get these guns? Do they have anything in their background? Were they a part of any black supremacist groups? We're not just going to talk about white supremacist groups in a negative way, but also have to talk about black supremacist groups or any type of terrorist group. So thoughts, certainly, and concerns go out to this family of the detective, and also to the family of any and all family members of the Jewish grocery store's occupants. Keeping with the same line of thought, you know, we had the trainee at the military base. He mounted a deadly attack. A member of the Saudi Air Force killed three people at the Naval Air Base in Pensacola, Florida. So, you know, this is crazy stuff. You know, who knows what's going on? Obviously, that's going to hurt the relationships between the Saudi Air Force and the United States Air Force, or United States Naval Force, the United States military. Obviously, I'm sure that there's already a vetting process for who can be accepted here. But that's just going to continue to grow the concerns about that people have for other people, right? People have for other people, for others, right? And I'm putting that in quotation marks, others, right? These others, right? These Saudis, these black people, these Jewish people, these white people, you know, these others. We got to get into our minds that we're all one human family. And until we get that through our minds, you know, we're going to continue to look at people through the xenophobic lens. We're going to continue to hurt people, shoot people, lie to people, deceive people, and think that other people are the cause of your problems. If you are living in a black community and you think Jewish people are the reason that you're living in depressed conditions, then you're wrong. Then you're wrong, right? We have to look at ourselves and say, what is it we can do about ourselves in order to make ourselves better? If you come over to this country from another country and you are looking at whatever's going on and you want to take your anger, your frustration out on the Americans and shooting up their military bases, well, what good do you think that's going to do? What is the end result of that, right? Terroristic acts don't work. Terroristic acts don't work. I wish that people would get that through their heads. One of the last things I want to talk about is I heard about two stories in this December 2019 about people who were hacking into security cams, baby monitors, things like that. So if you have one of these, I would suggest that you really, if you have some kind of baby monitoring system or even a Wi-Fi digital nanny cam or anything like that, where people can see your child or see into your home or listen to your child or listen to your home, I really highly suggest that you take any and all precautions, that you look up this information to make sure that your home is secure. do some research around the internet and figure out what you can do to keep your family safe. So NBC News had published something talking about this phenomenon. Actually, it was back in November, but I heard another story in December talking about this phenomenon in which people were hacking into nanny cams, baby monitors, whatever you want to call them, and speaking to the child, looking at the child, and all that kind of crazy stuff. So do what you got to do to make sure that your home is secured. Make sure you contact your ISP, right, your internet service provider. See if they got some extra firewalls or whatever they have to make sure that you and your family are safe, not only this holiday season, but going into 2020. And the last story that I want to give you guys comes in the world from what? Just law enforcement. Sometimes we do the craziest and silliest things. So check this story out. This comes from the Washington Post, and it says, a deputy burglarized grieving family's homes during funerals, officials say. Then her co-workers recognized her. So essentially, this woman, Janelle Grecke, I believe I'm spelling her name or saying her name right, G-E-R-I-C-K-E, 29 years old, was charged with felony burglary. She was a corrections officer in Wisconsin. So what she would do is go over the obituaries, learn when funerals were taking place, and then burglarize the homes when the families were at the burglary, when the families were at their funeral. So I got to read you a little bit of this and what was going on. Once again, from the Washington Post, a criminal complaint from the Washington Department of Justice lists seven instances between February 2018 and June 2019, where the former deputy either successfully broke into a stranger's home or was spotted lurking outside houses that she had reason to believe would be empty. If her calculations turned out to be wrong, state investigators say Gorecki would quickly make up a story. When one family returned home from a funeral and found her standing in their kitchen, she claimed that she had been hired to clean the house. On multiple occasions, she explained that she was trying to pick up furniture or baby goods she arranged to buy in Facebook Marketplace, and then she said she must have written down the wrong address. And so she lived in a town where there was about 80,000 people. So again, back to the article. On Halloween last year, prosecutors say a couple getting ready to go trick-or-treating noticed a woman standing on their patio and peering into their house through the door. When the wife approached, she realized that the stranger was actually Gorecki, who worked with her father at the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office and also belonged to his bowling team. I didn't know this was your house, Gorecki allegedly told the woman. She explained that she was trying to buy a shelf that she had seen in Facebook Marketplace, giving a name and address that the couple did not recognize. Then in January, authorities say one of Gorecki's co-workers spotted her while out on patrol. Jefferson County Sheriff's Department David Girana had been driving past the home of a beloved local firefighter who was fatally hit by a car while trying to rescue a stranded motorist on New Year's Eve and was surprised to see someone standing on the front porch of his memorial home taking place. When he stopped, he realized that it was Gorecki, who was pregnant at the time. She claimed that she was trying to buy used baby gear off of Facebook Marketplace and had no idea she was actually in the deceased firefighter's house. So this is what this woman, this law enforcement official, a former law enforcement official would do. She would burglarize people's homes when they were away or going trick-or-treating or just craziness. I mean, I would assume that in her line of work, she had access to overtime or whatever. So who knows what was going on in this lady's mind, but just an absolutely, absolutely crazy story. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it for the month. I really hope that as we close out 2019, that you guys would really consider what we talked about before, making sure that 2020 is going to be better than 2019. Whatever your goals are, as far as your diet, your exercise, your health, your family relationships, that you really take the steps towards the right direction to make sure that those things are going the way that they should be going. Give people their flowers while they can smell them. Make your life, make it the best that it can be and best that it should be. Set goals and dreams that are realistic, right? Sometimes we set things that are just unrealistic. And one of the best pieces of advice that I heard, and I think that this can really go towards a number of different things, is that if you change something small about your life, you know, people make these drastic changes, and the reason that they do not work is because they're too drastic and too big and they cannot be sustained. So what people should do is they should change something small about their life. If every morning you go to your local donut shop, right, and you get a coffee with a donut, well, if you replace that donut with an apple, then you made a really big significant change in calories and all that kind of stuff. And so for lunch, if you've always eaten chips with your salad or with the, you know, if you always ate a burger, then change it to a salad and or a banana, right? Small incremental changes, which can be so lasting. And I think that and not only am I talking about diet, but just getting up, going for a walk, calling someone that you haven't called in a while, loving someone, just taking the small steps, right? So think about whatever big thing you want to do and take the small step to get there, right? If you want to lose 10 pounds in a month, which is doable, it has to start out small. And so it starts, right, with a little bit of diet, a little bit of exercise. You don't have to go for an hour walk, but just go for a 10-minute walk, right? Park a little bit farther away from the convenience store or from the grocery store and walk through the parking lot. That gives you a little more exercise. So start off small and then work towards those bigger things. And so that's what I want us all to focus on for 2020. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope that you are learning something, that we are taking this ride along together. And remember, for our homework assignment is just to make sure that we are giving those roses, those flowers to people while they can smell them. Make time for this next year to build those relationships, to restore those relationships, and to appreciate people. And if you have to cut people off, then that's fine too. But I'm asking you not to harbor any ill will towards people, because that can be just as toxic just as well. Make sure that we celebrate life. So celebrate life in 2020, in this holiday season, as we bring in the new year, celebrate life. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Please make sure that you rate, subscribe, and share. We still have a lot of great episodes coming up, a lot of great interviews, and we're going to continue to build this relationship between the police and the public. No matter how hard people try to go in their opposite direction, we're going to pull them in the right direction, right? So in the meantime, here's a second homework assignment. Check out to see wherever you live at, what are the laws related to the police department's releasing information? If you live in a place where it's actually illegal, state law, right? These are legislatures who are passing these laws, trying to make sure for whatever reason that officers or police departments do not release information, then see what you can do to go about changing these laws. Find out, is that the law? Find out why that's the law. Maybe there's a good reason for it, which I highly doubt, because I think that transparency is the key. But if that's the way, then see what you can do in order to write your elected officials to see how we go about changing that law so we can get transparency. That's what we want, is transparency. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Remember your homework assignments. Give those people those flowers while they can smell them. Check out to see what you can do in order to change the laws concerning the releasing of information by police departments in your local municipality and in your state. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Much love and peace.